Watching the folding of the flag is a very solemn experience for me. I've seen a lot of these folded. I've folded a lot myself over the years, and they're always for a military funeral. And I have presented a lot of these folded flags to grieving widows and grieving parents. And then I have stood aside when people serving with their husband, son, have wanted to present it, and they did. And to see them take hold of the flag intensifies even more the grief and loss. So it's a solemn moment, the flag, to those grieving. Freedom is not free. It exacts a horrible price. Our forefathers won our freedom from our British cousins, and they loved it once it was won, but they paid a terrible price for it. Not long after that, they discovered freedom isn't free once you get it. It requires self-sacrifice and self-discipline. If we are to have a free society, we must respect and honor the privileges of our neighbors. You are my neighbors, and I am one of yours, and we are a family here, and we have a responsibility under God for one another to make sure we take care of people and their needs. Now, I want to give you some parallels. A young man decides to enlist in some branch of the armed forces. I'm going to pick Marines. I served 4 tours with them. I love my tours. Think about serving with Marines. This is true for chaplains and doctors and dentists. If they love you, you can do no wrong. If they don't think you're doing your job, you're dead in the water and you're not going to accomplish anything good. So get a set of orders and go somewhere else. But when a young man enlists, say in the Marine Corps, when I was 1st Battalion Chaplain of Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, and sometimes I would watch these young men come in and off the bus on the Marine base, unload and stand, and the staff sergeant would form them up in a rank as best he could, and some of them looked pretty scraggly, hair down to their shoulders, flip-flops on their feet, dirty feet, clothes, some of the clothes were kind of greasy. Some were decently dressed. Then the staff sergeant would stand aside, and a gunnery sergeant, we call them gunnies, hove into view, stand there and look over the group, and finally, "Now hear this!" Shock set in. He didn't let up. And when he finished his little sermon, he turned around and walked off. The staff sergeant announced the fact, "I am your drill instructor. I would remind you that when you enlisted and you held the card in your left hand and you raised your right hand and swore, you took an oath. Part of that oath was to obey those in lawful authority over you." The Marine Corps now has the legal right to take care of your life and do whatever they want to with you within reasonable limits. And these young men discovered, to their chagrin, they signed their life over to the Marine Corps, just as any other branch of the service is the same thing. Now, the parallel to this is, here's a young lad, had a very best friend, the dearest friend of his life, who recently died in a car crash, was killed instantly. And this young man had grown up with his best friend, they shared everything, they thought like, they talked like. And after he found out his friend had been killed in a crash, he knew in his heart that he left this world unsaved. And when he went to the funeral, part of the message he heard struck him to the heart. And after a couple of weeks, he sought out a pastor, talked to him, said, "I would like to be saved. I don't know what I have to do, what's going to involve." So the pastor began counseling with him, trying to overcome thoughts that he had had all his life. The counseling went on to the point where this man said, "I really want to be saved, and I'll do whatever you direct me to do." So he sustained the counseling for a period of time, was examined by the session. The session questioned him, and everybody felt like he was sincere and honest. So he was a candidate for baptism and accepted in the church as a full member. Now, in the Marine Corps, during the 3 months training, now I took 3 months training as an enlisted man in the Navy back in 1945, but you have 2 weeks where you're given all kinds of tests And this happened in the Marine Corps also. And they try to find out those that are smart and have the ability to be sent to a school to learn a skill, to learn a trade. We had the graduation ceremonies of these men. As a matter of fact, 1st Battalion, we had graduations twice and three times a week all through that year. And when you see the Marines coming in for their graduation ceremony, they're the best looking men you could find anywhere in the world. Sharp. And the commanding officer would tell how many pounds were lost during 3 months, and there were never less than a ton of pounds lost, gained, or not tons. But they were good-looking men. Their parents were there. The girlfriend they were going to marry were there. The other family, kinfolks. It was a great, wonderful celebration. Now, when the young man is baptized, accepted in the church, the Marines go through boot camp, and then some of them are sent to schools. So this young lad was told, you need to attend Sunday school on a regular basis, part of your training, and of course attend worship service. You need to attend our Bible study group. You begin to learn more, and they gave him a Bible signed by every member of the session, said, you need to read this every day. Good for you. Good for you. Now, let me press on. In the Navy, whether you're serving on a ship at anchor in a harbor or at sea on the way from San Diego to Westpac, that'd be Japan, or if you're on a shore station in the States or in some foreign country, every weekday morning there are quarters. That means everyone attends a meeting. I don't know how to explain it other than it's called quarters. Because everyone has to be accounted for. Roll call is made. And the section leader is able to report to the head man of the section, all present and or accounted for, sir. At quarters, one of the things that is read and emphasized is the reading of the POD. P-O-D stands for plan of the day. No one is excused from knowing what's in the plan of the day unless he is dead, in the brig, in the hospital, or on leave. It is not only read, and we are required to be there and hear it read, copies are placed on every bulletin board. And we are told, read the bulletin board during the course of the day. We are ordered, required, to know all that is in the plan of the day. This is my pod, my plan of the day. It's called a Bible. And Almighty God expects us, no excuses, to read our pod daily and understand as much as we can what's in it. And we are held accountable to read the pod. I begin my morning devotions every morning opening my Bible, lay both of my hands on it, and I pray, dear God, thank you for this heavenly manna that you have rained down upon me, for it is food for my soul, for my heart, and for my mind. Talk to me here if I need to become under conviction or encouraged or inspired. Tell me here what you want me to do today. And when I leave here, grant to me moments when I can meet with people and help them. You know who they are, and you know my capability. So feed me now so that I can serve you better throughout this day. Thus I begin my spiritual breakfast. And sometimes it's so good, it's like eating a slab of ham, 3 eggs over easy, red-eye gravy, grits, 3 big biscuits, open up, steam comes off, slather them with country butter and whatever else you want on top. It's good. Read your pod every day because God holds you accountable for it. We are evaluated always. In the military, we are evaluated once a quarter. Fitness reports are written on us. As a junior chaplain, I had my senior chaplain writing my fitness reports. When I was with the 1st Battalion, 3rd Marines on Okinawa, the commanding officer wrote my fitness report. And I found out that he happened to be a Presbyterian elder in a church outside of Cabin June, North Carolina. It's not bad to be on Okinawa and serve under a commanding officer of an infantry battalion who happens to be a Presbyterian elder. We are evaluated all the way up the line. When I gathered rank in the Navy, I started writing fitness reports on people. And one time I had orders to Washington to sit on the selection board. We were sworn to secrecy. We were told that there are 28 men in the zone for promotion. The kicker is, we were told you can only promote 18. Now, on a fitness report form, you've got 1% flush right. And I think there's a 5% column. I know there's 10% and 30%. If you are marked 30% by anybody who has written your fitness report, you're dead in the water. 1%, you're in good shape. 10%, if you only have one 10% fitness report, you stand a fair chance. But it's sort of 60-40. 60% you may not, 40% you may be picked up for promotion. 1%, you're in good hands. Now, on the other side, this is the military aspect. On the heavenly aspect, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. That's Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. Proverbs 15, verse 2. His eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. That's Job chapter 34, verse 21. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalm 34, verse 15. So we are evaluated in life, and we are being evaluated by Almighty God. There are people who do the right forms, but if their heart isn't in it, it doesn't count. Man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. And we will never, this side of the grave, do perfectly. But God takes into consideration, even though we don't measure up to what he has a right to expect of us and what we want to set goals for ourselves, even though we don't make it. God looks on the heart, and if he sees that, yes, we really want to do good, to be better, to be kinder to people, to do things for other people, and to put God first and foremost in our lives, because the teaching of Holy Scripture is that God should come before anyone or anything. That's required of us as his children. We shouldn't be the main fault of our lives. What can, as we begin the day, before I get out of bed, I praise God and thank him for the fact that nothing happened during the night to damage or destroy our home. Because a lot of people have been rudely awakened during the night because of a tornado or a hurricane. And I don't like to take it for granted, because I want him and I ask him, please continue safe in thy loving protection. Then I ask him to guide me through the day so that my thoughts, my words, and my deeds are pleasing and acceptable to him. Every night before I go to bed, I take a shower because I don't want to sleep in the dirt I've accumulated during the course of the day. So while I'm washing my body, I'm confessing my sins to my Lord and asking for forgiveness. Sometimes I stand there and I cry and I sob till my body shakes because I have been lousy. I have failed miserably. And I have to be honest with my dear Heavenly Father and admit that this has not been good. But confessing honestly and openly gives relief. And I can go to bed with a clean body, clean mind, because I end my prayer saying, please, I have finished washing my body. Please wash my soul now with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me of all the unrighteousness which I'm this day. I want to end on this note. There is not a military installation of any kind anywhere in the world, whether that's American, Russian, Chinese military, there isn't a military force anywhere in the world that can come anywhere near accomplishing their mission without absolute and total unquestioning obedience. Now, We face commands every day of our lives. Jesus said in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you. A command. It's not selective. It's a command. A new command I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another, so that others may know that you are my disciples. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 43, 44, and 45, Jesus ends on the sixth thing that he starts off. You have heard that it was said by them of old, but I say unto you. Now, the sixth and last one here in the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 43, is, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, in order that. That's a Greek word, opus. It means that, or in order that, you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Brethren, the first one, love, is in the imperative mood. Bless is in the imperative mood. Do good to is in the imperative mood. Pray for is in the imperative mood. It is a command. And if we were to be hailed before a heavenly court martial on the basis of whether or not we have kept the command in our pod for which we are responsible to read, we would all be guilty of sin, because we'll never achieve it this side of the grave. But if we strive, if God sees in us we really want to be the kind of person he has the right to expect of us, he takes that into consideration, and it's a big plus on our side. We are commanded, we are ordered by Almighty God to love our enemies, to bless them that curse us, to do good to them that hate us, and pray for them which spitefully use us in person, that we may be children of our Father. And brethren, it isn't easy, and we cannot do it on our own. But the more of our lives that we surrender to Jesus, and the more we put God first and foremost before anyone, the better help we are able to get. Strive towards obeying what's in the pod. Read your pod every day. There is no excuse acceptable this side of heaven for not reading your pod and do what it tells you to do, because we get along a whole lot better if we do. Let's pray. Oh, dear God, thank you so much, merciful, because we need all the mercy we can get from thee. Thank you for being so willing to forgive us when we truly, truly confess and ask for thy forgiving. Please guide us along the way of life. We avoid the wide gate and the broad way and straight and narrow that we know one day will bring us home. To you be the glory, honor, and praise now and forevermore. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, you expect us to follow orders that you have given us in your pod, the plan of the day of our lives given in your holy word. Bless us as we go forth now, that we may obey thee, serve thee, honor thee, and glorify thee. And please, dear God, bless every loved one who has lost a loved one in the service of our country, in the service of firefighters, in the service of officers of the law, who have sustained losses because of the service they have given to our country, to our community, to our state. Bless and comfort them as they struggle along with their own losses, we pray. And guide us that we may ever be striving